T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We'll hear from Richard Sherman, Niners cornerback, former Seahawk. We love him here down in San Francisco. We'll hear from him in just a second. As he just spoke to the media for the first time in the 2020 season, training camp is underway down in Santa Clara as the Niners get ready to try to defend their NFC crown. I don't even like saying that. We know they lost the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 54. We'll also hear from Jimmy Garoppolo, who is speaking to the press now. Yesterday, the Niners signed Jordan Reed to a one-year deal. Today, apparently, they have visits from Ziggy Ansah, former Detroit Lion defensive end, as well as Deion Jordan, former top five draft pick of the Miami Dolphins. Wow. Deion Jordan, Ziggy Ansah in for visits for the 49ers, pass rush specialist. They do anything for you guys?
Yeah, it really does for me. Ziggy Ansah has familiarity with Chris Kocurek and had double-digit sacks, I think, multiple times with him in Detroit. Obviously, the guy was a top talent coming out, so was Deion Jordan, but he's lived up more to his top billing than even Deion Jordan. Deion Jordan, man, it just sucks. I feel like the guy's never been able to avoid being suspended, all right? And when you think he's going to get things going, he either gets hurt or gets back on that suspension list. Ziggy intrigues me. I think it's a low-risk move. I mean, I want to see how much he's going to be earning, but more pass rush help to bolster that defensive line that's already a strength? How can you not like it?
And I'll say I'm all in, fellas, like a poker game. And the reason I say that is last year, what was the Niners' strength? You just touched on it, Shasky, was that depth at the D-line. They could rotate guys at that D-line position. So, you know, with the Kinlaw signing, I'm all on board. I'm excited. But if you're telling me, Bonte, that's your replacement for Buckner, then when I look at it through that lens, I'm like, that's putting too much
Buckner
on Kinlaw.
Inside,
yeah.
Buckner
okay, no, but inside. I'm just saying – yeah, no, I got you. But when you rotate and you got bodies, then that becomes a strength. Right now, you lost a big body. Even though he played inside, Bonte, you lost a body. And now, if you were to get one of these dudes, I think that bodes well and you keep that depth. So I'm hoping, you know, something happens with these, if we want to go Timex Social Club with these rumors.
Mike Marshall?
does it say anything about D. Ford? And the Niners' faith in D. Ford remaining healthy for 16 games?
No, I think it says more about, man, you know, just the nature of how teams operate. You always want more pass rush help. Like, remember the 49ers in 94? It was like a who's who. Oh, Richard Dent's available? I'll take him. Charles Mann's available? I'll take him. Like, that's what you do. Ricky Jackson's out there? I'll take him. Why wouldn't you want to add more guys? Why wouldn't you want to bring someone else in? Like, drives get longer and longer and longer, it feels like, in the NFL as teams convert on short third downs over and over and over again. You get those 15-play drives. Why wouldn't you want to have a couple of guys who can come in and substitute out? Why wouldn't you want to have some versatility here? Like, when Blair went down last year, they didn't have a whole lot of depth, right? After
DJ
that.
Jones,
DJ
Julian
Jones
Taylor.
Went down.
Yes,
and
sir.
To your point about DeForest Buckner, look, I agree. He plays inside primarily, but they ran a lot of stunts.
Yep.
And you can do different things with Bosa and someone like Ziggy Ansah playing alongside of each other or opposite D. Ford. Like, it just gives you more options. Why wouldn't you want more help?
How much do they have left in the tank, though? Real quick, though. Ansah and Deion Jordan. How much do they have left in the tank? How real is, like, if they are are pass rush specialists. They're going to play, what, 30% of the snaps?
Enough for what
downs.
They need, B. You know what I mean? You're not asking them to be Bosa or everything's relying on you. So I think there's enough in the tank to where periodically, you know, on certain situations, get out there and get after the quarterback. But it ain't what they were supposed to be with their originally drafted teams. Those days are over.
And B, didn't D Ford only play about 33% of the snaps last year?
Well, he was hurt. Yeah. He was hurt. So
they
much,
know.
But
so, when's he not hurt, B? When's he not hurt?
Right, but you don't pay him that type of money. That type of money just to be a third down specialist. You don't give him that boatload of cash to be a third down specialist. They gave him that money, and he was hurt. He was hurt throughout training camp. He was hurt throughout the season. So I don't know if we got a really good gauge on how the 49ers wanted to use D Ford. I'm just asking a question on how much they have left, because when I think of the third down defense for the 49ers, especially that defensive line, I'm thinking about Javon Kinlaw, Nick Bosa, D Ford, and Eric Armstead. Those are the four pass rushers I want on the football field on third down. Now, granted, if Kinlaw's tired or whatnot, maybe you sub in Deion Jordan or Kinlaw. I don't know. Maybe they're better with the talent around them.
Ford hurt.
The 49ers.
Yeah. But
you know what?
Bonte,
if Ford's hurt,
how many times last year did we see them make massive substitutions on their defensive line?
They do it all
at once, and you're like, "Why is Solomon Thomas playing as much as he is on this drive?" Like, that's part of what makes this defensive line great was the depth and their ability to rotate guys in and out. So, explain to me what the negative is on bringing in Ziggy Ansah.
There's no negative. I mean, how much are they going to play though? How much do they have left in the tank? You know what I'm saying? It's a sexy name. It's a sexy name, Ansah, Ziggy, and Deion Jordan. It's sexy names. I get all that. But I'm looking at the guys. If D Ford is healthy, I don't want them on the field on third down. But, I want D Ford. Yeah. I want Armstead. I want the money makers on the field. I want the guy. I want the first round picks on the football field. That's what I want. I mean, look, there's no negativity of adding depth and adding training camp bodies. I get all that. Bring them on in. I get all that. But, man, how much do they really have left? I'm not going to go Goo-Goo Gaga over Ziggy Ansah and Deion Jordan. Right. I'm just not.
Well, that's like me with Reed, you know, with the concussion protocol, the concussion history, and I'll get excited when I see it. But Bonte, I'm with you to a sense, though. I think the fact that they're linked to the Niners, that's the front office telling you that they don't believe Ford can remain healthy
for 16.
That's what
I was asking. Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? But I mean, Butch, you know your guy, and you know the best ability is availability, and I think D Ford's let this team down for what they paid them in the grand scheme of things. Why would you be courting these two guys? Because you know you've been burned. You know what I mean?
They might feel a little burned by D Ford, but independent of that, like I really do, independent of that, this is where every team in the league wants to be. They want to be that Super Bowl destination free agent spot for somebody on the dirt cheap who can come in here and play a specific role when asked. If it's 20% of the time, 10% of the time, only in case of an injury. Like, I go back to when Justin Smith hurt his shoulder, and that team was dying for some depth. They were dying for someone to come in there. Things happen in the NFL. Well, you referenced DJ Jones. I referenced Ronald Blair. I mean, we had DeMontre Moore out there getting significant snaps. Stuff happens. Even if a guy gets rolled up for a half in a playoff game, you're telling me you don't want someone like Ziggy coming off the bench? I'd love to have that luxury. This is about bolstering. And honestly, I'm not ruling out the possibility of Jadeveon Clowney. I would love to bring him in if that's real. Why wouldn't you? Like, I'm in Super Bowl win mode, guys. I'm in Super Bowl win mode. You can never have enough guys.
Clowney's a different type of player. He's a different type of player who happened to be teammates with Ziggy last year in Seattle. You look at Ziggy last year in Seattle, right? He played 11 games, started one, 2.5 sacks, 18 tackles on the season. Can he beat one-on-one? Can he win one-on-ones now at this stage of his career? And I don't want to look at the birth certificate. He's had some injuries. I get all that, especially the last two seasons. But really, I forgot he was on Seattle. That's how little he did for Seattle's defensive line. You know, and
he's a game wrecker on a good day, though, Bonte. We saw it that Monday night.
3 years ago. You're talking about Clowney. Clowney wrecked the game on Monday night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Ziggy was MIA with Seattle. But Ziggy really was.
I look at it more as, is he an upgrade over whatever backup you would have be playing there? Like, let's say DeMontre Moore for this exercise.
I like DeMontre Moore.
I would say yes.
Is he really that much of an upgrade over DeMontre?
I don't know. If the Niners believe he is, then I'm willing to take it. If Chris Kasur, the guy who changed this defensive line, loves him and thinks he should come in, I think he's kind of earned the benefit of the doubt.
B, so why is that conversation going? They must feel some type of way about what they have and what they need and what these guys got left.
One thing, Julian Taylor coming off a serious injury.
serious knee injury. DJ Jones coming off a serious knee injury. And I like Julian Taylor. Remember the Washington game in the monsoon? He balled out, shut down that fourth and one. He had a really good game. I always liked him. Julian Taylor, DJ Jones, Demontre Moore, as you mentioned, and Ronald Blair. They're coming off serious injuries. Serious injuries. So you do need depth here. But I'm looking at Deion Jordan. You know, look, more power to the guy. He's bounced back from being a bust. He had an okay year with the Oakland Raiders last year, two sacks, and I know they're the Las Vegas Raiders. They were playing in Oakland. But I think it's more to say about Dee Ford on whether or not Dee Ford can remain healthy and just having training camp bodies so you don't wear out the likes of Dee Ford, so you don't wear out the likes of Nick Bosa, so you don't wear out the likes of Eric Armstead and Javon Kinlaw. How much they factor into the season if they do get signed by the 49ers, I have no idea. But it's not a move that I'm going to say, man, this is really going to put this defense over the top. It's going to help them win the Super Bowl. I just think they're guys at this point. They're really just guys.
They might be just guys. And they did that with the cornerback from San Diego who hasn't played even
Jason
a snap.
Verrett.
Who's the guy?
He got,
Jason Verrett.
Did he get burnt last year in
dice.
One play?
Yeah.
He got burnt
in the
Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, you roll the dice and you see
plays.
If there's anything there. Like,
yeah,
how is there anything lost? Like, I don't understand why this is a downgrade. Who says the young guys still can't compete? Who we have no idea what COVID's going to do to player availability on a game-to-game, week-to-week basis. Like, again, more hands on deck. No one is saying that he's going to change this defense. Oh, my God, it's Reggie White, free agent signing for the Green Bay Packers. No, but, I mean, it's the incremental game.
You need bodies.
Get better in the margins.
That's
why not?
And I get that. They're training camp bodies. But I'm not expecting these guys to come in on game day and really be a big difference maker. Again, when it's the money plays. And I get all the defensive rotation the Niners loved to do last year because they had the depth. But it's money time. And it's third and eight. And that quarterback has to drop back, plant, and make a throw. I want my best pass rushers on the football field. And can Ziggy and Deion Jordan be one of your best pass rushers on third down? I don't think they're better than Dee Ford when he's healthy. I don't think they're better than Bosa. I don't think they're better than Armstead or Kinlaw.
No.
That's all I'm saying here.
Yeah,
so
but no one's...
they are specifically third down specialists at their point in the career. And on third downs, I don't want them on the football field on this team. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I hear you, but you got into multiple marathon games, Baltimore, New Orleans, at home against Seattle, up in Seattle, the Super Bowl. Man, it would have been nice to have one extra pass rusher who can get to the who can get to the quarterback. That's all I'm saying. One or two plays a year is the difference of getting a bye and not getting a bye. I'm not discrediting that. I'm bringing in anyone who can help this team
get better.
Can they
get to the quarterback at this stage?
And the
we'll
fact
find
that there's
out.
Two names,
Fonte, we'll
I feel like
we
somebody's coming, B.
We saw him last year. He was up in Seattle. Seattle's pass rush outside of Clowney was non-existent. Non-existent. They couldn't get the quarterback to save their life. Aaron Rodgers had all day to throw that playoff game against the Seattle
and B, I love
McCown.
You.
Josh McCown's 45 years old. He's closer to 50 than he is 40. I'm kidding. What is he, 40, 41, whatever? He had all day to throw for Philadelphia. They just had nobody to catch a damn football.
I love you. I love your knowledge and passion. But at the end of the day, I'm going to give the nod to the Niners front office and the fact that these two names are linked to their team. They may not be a part of the team, but Bonte, that just speaks volumes on what they think they need. And I hear you on what do they got left. You don't want them on third down. But B, something's going on to where they're looking themselves in the mirror defensively. Butch, like these two dudes, one of them can help.
Well, and if he's weak, we saw last year, they have no problem throwing him on the IR or just cutting him. That's what they did with Verrett. Did Verrett see extended time? No. They moved off of him quickly. Like, he was done. And then Mosley took his spot. So, like, I don't know why we have any less faith in the 49er organization. Like, yes, they lost the Super Bowl last year. It was a great year. It's a great year, and I'm proud of the year. It sucks they didn't win the Super Bowl. Maybe this guy can help them make a play or two that can give them the bye and get them back to where we want to go, which is the Super Bowl.
I hear you. And there's nothing wrong with having training camp bodies, but
I thought you were going to be excited, Bonte.
No, about Ziggy Anthony? No, I'm not. This is not going to have me jumping for joy. No, these are dirt cheap moves. These are guys who may play 20 snaps a game. I'm not going to go crazy over them. You bring up Clowney? Okay, that's something I'll get excited about. I'll go crazy over that. But I'm not going to go crazy over Ziggy and Deion Jordan. When I've seen the bulk of their careers, especially the last 2 years of Ziggy and Deion Jordan's career, it's just guys. I like the guys that they already have in the room. But I like the guys. What I'm saying, Shasky, is I like the guys they already have. I like DJ Jones. I like Julian Taylor. I like Moore. I like Kentavious Street. I like all these guys more than I like Ziggy and Deion Jordan. Are they better? Is it an upgrade?
We've never even seen Street. He's never been healthy. I've heard about him in the weight room and how he's a monster and a beast. Like, he's in the Jerick McKinnon pile for me. Like, I got to see you play at some point. And look, again, no one's saying they're world beaters. It's incremental gains. And if it's not, there's nothing lost. You move off the guy. No one's giving this guy, like, $10 million guaranteed. He's coming in on the dirt cheap to win a Super Bowl. This is what I want.
We brought up the names, man. You guys were excited at first, man. I was like, whoa, Ziggy and Deion Jordan, you got, man.
You just mentioned the Blair and the John. I mean, those injuries are, you know what I mean? It's like,
I hear
you got to have some Geico. You got to have some insurance. And it's not like you're bringing them in to replay, you know, to give me 2015 sacks. That ain't happening, B.
Yeah, no, but I'm not asking for
the guys
for that.
You just did the roll call on are two guys are coming back off serious injuries, man. So you gotta proceed with caution.
He's got the Gary Radish thing going. If you ain't a star, he don't care.
No,
like, that's where he's at with
it. Has nothing to do with
it. Doesn't move the needle in the press box, he doesn't
care.
That's
totally false. That's totally false. I don't get off on stars. You guys get off on the stars. It's not a big, flashy name. You guys, but see, here's the problem. Ziggy and Deion Jordan have names because they were first-round picks.
No doubt.
And you guys went nuts over them. And I'm not going nuts over them. I'm sorry. They're not
going
to make a difference for me.
We're happy. We're excited.
Excited about Ziggy and Deion Jordan, for crying out loud.
They're bodies.
I want to get back to the Super Bowl, bro. Like, I don't know about you. Like, it's all hands on deck.
Those guys aren't helping you get to the Super Bowl, man.
Who knows?
Let's be realistic.
I didn't think Emmanuel Mosley was going to be a big part of the Super Bowl last year, and guess what?
I love Mosley. He's not a big name. You know how I got up for Mosley after that week four tackle against the Rams. This guy's a player.
Did you think that Dre Greenlaw was going to be a massive contributor at the series, season went on? Did
you
think Ben Garland was going to be a part of a Super Bowl team? Like, things happen in football.
Dre Greenlaw was drafted. I loved it. We watch SEC football.
I said to you we
watch SEC football. Let's hear from Richard Sherman on adapting to a new offseason. Here's 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman.
You know, every year is a new year. And every year you gotta reprove yourself, you gotta reestablish yourself, and you gotta put it back on tape. And that's the plan. You know, I gotta go out there, I gotta work hard, I gotta be able to play well for my teammates and try to elevate my team and help us win ball games. I mean, that's the concern every year. The off season has been different, but you know, we're pros and we get our work in, and we've been able to prepare and stay on top of our game. Obviously, it's an adjustment, and winning teams find a way to adjust the best in these situations. So I think the team that would adapt the best will be the one holding the trophy at the end.
Richard Sherman speaking on Zoom with a mask on. Had the mask on during this interview.
Wow.
Here's Sherman on the risk of leaving the facility.
I think the coaches are emphasizing it, but at the end of the day, these are grown men and these are pros. You know, if they're going to trick it off, they'll get quarantined, they'll get replaced. It'll be unfortunate. That's why we have testing every day, so they can catch it quick. But I think on a team like ours, and you know, we're uniquely constructed to deal with this. Because, you know, obviously we're in Santa Clara. There's not a huge nightlife. You know, it's not like we're in Atlanta or Texas or Miami or Las Vegas or L.A. where there's a lot of distractions, a lot of places you can go, a lot of things you can do to get yourself in trouble. I think our team is incredibly focused because of how close we were to winning the Super Bowl last year and how, you know, that taste in their mouths is a bit of discipline in itself. You know, that hunger, that angst is discipline in itself. So I think our team is incredibly committed and driven towards that goal. And I think that in itself will be disciplined enough. You know, obviously we'll have the conversations, but, you know, those aren't things that are in anyone's control, but the guys being disciplined.
I tell you what, Sherman wasn't lying about the nightlife in Santa Clara. There's nobody in the Bay Area that's ever said, hey, Friday night, hey, cool Shatsky, baby. Let's go down to Santa Clara. Let's go down to Santa Clara and go have some fun, man. Yeah,
Butcher
nobody's
might have
doing
a
that.
Spot, but you got a spot for us in Santa Clara.
Yeah, that's more of Butcher Boy's area, Santa Clara. Yeah. He loves
going. I can't really give you an exact name.
He's a Stanford guy.
Thank you, Joe Harm. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, what are we going to – you know what? The only spot to go to is Guru, and you ditched us many times. It's the Hilton for our pre- and post-game show.
Okay,
I mean,
no,
that's
no
the
doubt.
Spot to be. Go Great see Joe Houston down there at the Hilton.
Yeah. Michelle.
Go see him.
Michelle.
Get taken care of. Yep, exactly. That's where you go. There's a pool. It's very nice. You can lay out, you know. You got all that Manscaped product nowadays. You know, you're probably looking good with that beach. Body,
you know, you gotta let the rack.
Hey, you gotta let the taco meat show, baby. Screw all this Manscaped and stuff. Let the taco meat show. Come on, come on. But by the way, just real quick, Spadoni, come on, just because you can't grow it, Don't hate on it. We're talking about depth here with Ziggy and Deion Jordan. And look, I get it. Depth is very, very important for a football team. But what's depth when the players aren't any good anymore? Like, how many times I saw Solomon Thomas in that lineup? Like, depth, all the great depth. But you know what? Teams see those guys shuffling on the football field and said, oh, hey, guys, these guys are on the football field. Let's go attack. Depth is only good if the players are still good. And I just question how good Ziggy and Deion Jordan are at this point in their careers. That's all.
Which is fair. Okay, I get you. I trust them more than practice squad player X. Right, you know, like we keep bringing Dante Johnson back into this secondary. I'm like, how? You want to talk about depth like that? That's what ends up happening, though, as a football season starts to progress and guys get injured. It's a war of attrition. So I would rather have somebody who I at least know is functional than someone who's below average player, like below replacement level, below practice squad level, because that's what ends up happening. It's a grab bag. You have no idea what you're going to get when you start getting into week 16, 17. You have injuries, and you're just literally throwing a blind dart. Like, I would rather, yes, I would. I would rather have someone who I at least have some name familiarity with and who has NFL reps over someone who doesn't. Call me crazy. Got, yeah. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I'm going too short, fellas. You got to get in where you fit in. And with camp getting ready to start, B, it ain't like there's a line of Pro Bowlers. And these dudes are bodies, and they're cost effective, which supersedes what I think the talent is worth. I'm with you, B. It ain't. They're not being brought in here to be Fred Dean. That ain't happening, Butch. But you need a body. And with the question marks you got with two of your guys going down, Blair and Joe, I mean, you got to, you know, you need a body, Bonte, and they're cheap. So that's why I look at it like there's no harm, no foul. And Butch, you talked about
exactly.
It. If they don't work out, see you later. But Bonte, it ain't like you're trying to get Fred Dean in here.
I'm not. I don't know.
There's Pro Bowlers just walking around in the mall. Hey, come on, you want to be a Niner? You know what I mean? You know what you're dealing with.
I don't know where I got this reputation of loving just stars. I mean, this whole thing that, oh, you like
ain't
to sit
wrong
in the press
with
box.
It.
Look, I sit in the press box
Diva
because personally, I like watching football games by my damn self. I don't like hearing people talking. I don't like people hooting and hollering. I like to lock in and do my own damn thing. So the press box gives me the
when
best
Butch
opportunity.
Says he uses his binoculars to look at you at the press box.
I look at him.
The greatest thing ever.
No, when he's tweeting at me begging for the Wi-Fi password from the press box, and
true.
I'm looking at him, I'm saying I shouldn't give him a damn password so he can go tweeting all caps.
This is why I connect with Ralph Barbieri. He didn't go hang out in the press box. He sat out in the stands with the real common Joes because he's one of us, and he rooted and he cheered and he booed, and that's what I do. Bonte over there getting the free chicken nuggets and whatnot.
Why not?
I don't know what it is.
Why
in the
not?
Press box. Let
take
me tell you, I like
chicken.
High-fiving and hugging the randoms, all right? All the people that sit next to us, they know I love this team, all right? I just want to see them win the Super Bowl. So sue me, all right? All right? Just so sue me.
I want to see them win the Super Bowl, too, but what's wrong with me getting a free chicken sandwich?
Crispy like some chicken.
Yeah, let me pay $10 for a chicken sandwich or get one for free. Boom. Free is me. I'd rather save the 10 bucks.
Well, you don't got it like that. That's okay.
Hey,
I mean, I'm
what?
Over here supporting the entire 95.7 crew behind the scenes. I got Nash and Lucas who I'm taking to games. I'm buying them all their food and drink. You know, it's just, that's what men do. They take care of the young ones, you know?
Hey, Mrs. Shasky.
Jedi move.
Mrs. Shasky must not be listening right now. She must not be listening right now. Yeah,
no, she don't listen.
She find out how much money
you
stay tuned.
All
right, here's what's coming up on 95.7
Game. So I got the separate credit card.
Ian Williams is actually going to join us at 1 o'clock and not 1:30. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock to talk about this 49ers football team and what's going on in the NFL, plus more of your phone calls. We'll also hear from Jimmy Garoppolo on the other side. Jimmy Garoppolo just spoke to the media. Yeah, your quarterback. Yeah, I can't wait to get into that one. That's what's coming up here.
Porn star, Jimmy!
On 95.7 The Game, and it's brought to you by It's Just Lunch.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Nobody wears Timberlands in 2020. This isn't 1997. We're going to hear from Jimmy Garoppolo in just a second.
You ain't got no style.
As Shasky. The Butter Tims, man. I used to rock them back in 1998.
Brother, that's a problem.
Shoes. 2020
they're great
now.
Dress shoes, and they're also rain resistant, so they're perfect for
dress
Frisco
shoes.
In the winter.
The
and I'm telling you, they
resistant.
Look fly. The Chuckas, I'm telling you right now, I got the navy, and then I got the tan.
What are those run, Butch? Over a C note?
About a hundo. I got them for the cheap, though, because Timberland had a little deal going on right now. They run big. They run real big. I had to get almost two sizes smaller.
All right.
You know? Yeah. These Navy ones are clean, though.
Congratulations.
I'm a Stacey Adams guy myself.
I was looking
date
at those.
Yourself. Way to date
See
yourself.
Cole.
No, Stacey Adams are cool. I rock some Stacey Adams. Jimmy Garoppolo just spoke to the media as we're talking 49ers football. Ian Williams will join us at 1 p.m. to talk about the Niners in the NFL. Jimmy Garoppolo, big year. I mean, felt like we talked about him every single day the offseason. Guy helps the team go 13-3. Averages 285 passing yards over the last nine games. We're all fixated on how much he threw or what he didn't throw in the playoffs. And, of course, that one throw in the Super Bowl 54 to Emmanuel Sanders. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo, let's hear from him on how he felt last year in his first full season as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I thought it was a productive year. Obviously, didn't finish the way we wanted it to, but I think there was a lot of things that that went well for us. A thing that I always take pride in is being an accurate quarterback. The more accurate you are, the more yards after catch your guys could go get for you. So in our offense, it's it's putting the ball in the right spot, putting it in the right timing of the play, and it's little things like that that go a long way in our offense. So I think I was pretty happy with everything, how it went, and like I said, we just want the last game of the season to turn out a little differently.
Jimmy Garoppolo on how he felt last year playing in that offense coming off a torn ACL. Let's sum up how he played last season real quick before we talk about his health with the knee. And then he also talked about Jerick McKinney, who we've yet to see play in a 49ers uniform. But Jimmy Garoppolo, man, it was really a polarizing conversation when it came to the quarterback of the 49ers.
Yeah, and Butch, I'll say this. I believe that he needs to earn a bit more trust from Kyle Shanahan. We'll watch that. But coming back from that horrific knee injury he had, I give him the John Wayne Award. He stood in the pocket. He got hit, and he picked his ass up. He picked himself back up off the mat every time he got knocked down. I think there's another level there. And hopefully, if this run game does struggle, I don't foresee that happening, they can just put it in Jimmy's hands, and he can shut up the haters.
I think Jimmy had a great year last year, if we're being really honest. Like, whatever metric you wanted to put, you wanted to view it through the lens of it's his first full year starting. You want to view it through the lens of, man, how did he stack up against his contemporaries? I thought he had a great year last year. Were there things that I think he could have done better? Of course. And, they could have been more efficient in the red zone. More wide receivers could have actually caught the ball instead of, having things tip off their hands. I think his decision-making needs a little bit of refinement. But all in all, it was a great year last year. Like, that doesn't take away anything. The reason I've always been so harsh on Jimmy is because I actually think this dude does have it in him. I think he really does have greatness in him. Will he be the best quarterback in the league? Probably not. But he could be a top 10 guy every single year if he's paired up with Shanahan and they put the right
He should have a ring. Let's put the right on the table. He should have a ring.
So what?
He should be wearing a ring right now. Yeah,
he's wearing a ring
right
rings.
Now. Not saying it's his fault. He should have a ring, so he's more than capable is my whole point.
The whole team should. The whole team should. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but that doesn't take away from what he did last year. He had a great year last year, and I expect him to take another leap forward again this year, and I think he's going to have an even better year this year, like by every metric.
I mean, when you say top 10 quarterback, he may have been one last year, Butch, and I'm not saying you're not wrong. But you look at the top five, he was top five in completion percentage. He was top five in touchdown passes. He was top 3 yards per attempt. And I know that has more to do with the yards after the catch, but he was top 8 in quarterback rating. And I don't even believe in that stat. Top 12 in yards thrown in a running offense. In a running offense. Think about that. And how many fourth quarters did the 49ers just say, you know what, we're going to run the ball out because we've blown this team out. They blew out the Carolina Panthers. You know what I'm saying? They were able to milk the clock into fourth quarter. Jimmy Garoppolo was just fine last year. And he got better and better as the season wore on, especially we talk about a second half stretch where everybody was saying, oh, it's a tough schedule, second half of the schedule. Let's see what Jimmy Garoppolo could do, especially when the running game was really stuck in neutral. He was stuck in neutral. By the way, Adam Schefter just reported that Allen Hurns, receiver for the Miami Dolphins, has now opted out due to COVID-19. Allen Hurns, really good receiver. Wow. We remember him with the Jacksonville Jaguars alongside Allen Robinson, who's now with the Chicago Bears. Wish Allen Robinson was a 49er.
So you got till Thursday to opt out, right?
You have till Thursday. Okay. And so far, no 49ers have opted out. But Jimmy Garoppolo, man, like the heat he got, and he also talked about Tom Brady. He was asked about the Tom Brady rumors.
Uh-oh.
He said, look, you hear about it, but I really wasn't too worried. I really wasn't too worried because he knew that the 2019 film was basically his proof that he could play quarterback in Shanahan's system.
Shasky, that Saint game, to me, I know every game won't be that, but that showed me if you need me and we're in a barroom brawl and I can show you what I could do at the quarterback position, I'm fixated on that game. I watched that game again and again, and that showed me Jimmy has the skill set to do it. Now you go out here and you try to right the wrong, which, you know, they let one get away. But, Bonte, I never once called Jimmy a scrub or said he couldn't do it. So I think this will be a big year in that regard. I just want to see the dynamic. Like, are the Niners going to be able to just run it down your throat like they did last year? Will they need to lean on Jimmy a bit more than they did? And the fact that they didn't need to lean on him all the time, for whatever reason, I just felt like those were pebbles that people picked up and threw with Jimmy, not the success of the offense. Like, they blamed him for the run game being so successful. That had nothing to do. You know what I mean? That ain't because they don't trust me, but that was a narrative.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. And look, as we reflect on Ralph Barbieri, he wasn't loved during his time. There was a lot of people that hated on him. But now that the guy's gone and passed away, everybody's showering with love. It's the same thing at the quarterback position. And I'm not trying to be like a joke there. I mean this sincerely. Yeah. People hate winners. They're always trying to dilute your accomplishments. They're always going to try to say that you ain't good enough until you actually hang a championship. Like, that is, unfortunately, that's where it's at with Jimmy. I think the best game of the year for him last year, hands down for me, was week 17 up in Seattle. What he did to do that in that environment, given all of the stakes that were going on there, to me as a Niner fan, that was the best performance of the year. I know the New Orleans. I know people are going to point to other
games. The second half, Bonte, Butch, they kind of didn't put numbers up. I mean, they got over in the first half.
They scored so quick. They scored on Shanahan. So quick. They got anything they wanted. I thought that Jimmy's best performance of the year was the Super Bowl, the three quarters of the game, and the game against Seattle week 17. Like, just to do that in Seattle meant a lot. He outplayed Russ the majority of that game and outplayed Patrick Mahomes the majority of that game.
18 to 22, 285 yards against Seattle week number 17. If I had to pick a game that I really thought Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy,
by the Saints,
it came early. It came in week number 3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had every reason to lose that football game. The turnovers,
the five
the fumbles,
turnover game.
The five turnover game. And he got hit over and over and over and over.
Man.
Bub Dupree put a hit on him, and I said, oh, he's done for the season. T.J. Watt put a hit on him. I said, that's it for Jimmy. He's done. There's a concussion there. And, you know, from through the grapevine, somebody said, Mike Tomlin walked up to Kyle Shanahan after the game and said, you got yourself a gangster at quarterback. And that's what I thought after that game.
Wow.
After he took the punishment. And if you look at the most impressive thing for me, it wasn't the yards thrown. It wasn't the touchdown passes. And I know the knock on the interceptions, 13 picks in the regular season. It was the way Jimmy Garoppolo stood in that pocket and said, you know what, I'm going to stay in the pocket, and whether I get popped or not, that's one thing. But I'm going to deliver this football, and I'm going to stay in this pocket. And a lot of times in that pocket, he had two rookie tackles. As you mentioned earlier, Shasky, he had Ben Garland in for Weston Richburg. Mike Person, was he the best right guard? No, but Jimmy Garoppolo stood in that pocket like a tough SOB, and that's what that, to me, was the most impressive thing about 2019 when it came to Jimmy Garoppolo, was the way he stood in that pocket and took punishment.
So what are the areas,
Jimmy?
What are the areas that we think he can improve on?
It's got to cut down on
accuracy
the
on the out routes. And he said that article a couple months ago to where he didn't have all the power in his legs and that base, Bonte, to where that's the area that he's going to try to improve on. And I'm like, man, never thought of that. Never once heard him use that as an excuse. But just accuracy on deep out routes, Bonte and Shasky.
What about you, B?
It's the interceptions. Just cut down on the interceptions because there's always the Jimmy O'No throws.
That's
the Jimmy O'No throws. There's about 2 to 4 passes a game where it's like, Jimmy, what did you see there? And it comes with experience. He has to play more.
Agreed.
He has to play more. So hopefully he cuts down on those mistakes. But that's the one area I look at, the decision-making, especially early in the game. However, I do like the resiliency of Jimmy Garoppolo because it seemed like whenever he did throw a pick or made a bad decision, he started balling after that, and he became accurate, and he had those hot streaks every little game. It's like, man, Jimmy's on fire right now.
I want to see him, obviously, make better decisions. That goes back to the Jimmy Ohno throws. But for me, fight in the pocket like he did in the Washington game where you just kept plays alive. I fell in love with Jimmy Garoppolo because of his ability to extend plays and look downfield and not just make plays in structure but make them out of structure. And that's what makes Mahomes special. It's what makes Russell Wilson special. Jimmy's different than those guys. I mean, very, very different from those guys. But he does extend plays. And we didn't see a lot of that last year. But in that Washington game in particular, he fought for yards. It reminded me of an old, gritty Steve Young type of a game. And he was running, using his legs. Right. I think him extending plays with his legs to throw the ball downfield, maybe to escape and slide and get himself a first down, or just not take the big negative play, that's the area I'd love to see from him develop this year. I think 30 and 10 are legitimate. Like 30, 10, and 4K, that's the numbers that I'm looking at. Even if they run the ball like crazy, if they play 16 games, 30 touchdowns or more, 10 or so interceptions, I'd be okay with 11 or 12, and 4,000 yards passing. I think those are legitimate accolades that he could achieve this year.
You know, when you look at last season, fellas, and you see the 4,000, he's 22 yards away from throwing for 4,000.
That's what I'm saying.
That's going to happen. Yeah. And if he plays
4K,
in fourth quarter, you know, you look at the Washington game in the monsoon, you're not going to pass a lot. But he threw that pick in the Washington game. When it mattered, 6-7. 6-7 in crunch time, got the Niners that lead. They didn't look backwards. Arizona, those Arizona games where the running game was going nowhere.
Cardinals, Saturday night, the Rams, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, Jimmy G is a baller. And I think those numbers, 27 touchdown passes, they're all attainable. They're all attainable if he plays in a couple more fourth quarters. Here's Jimmy G on his health in the knee. And we'll get back to the phone lines here. I see a couple calls here on the line. Stay patient here. Let's get to Jimmy G on his knee health, which was something we were all worried about in 2019.
I mean, it's night and day compared to where I was last year this time. This time last year was more so getting back into, being in a live pocket, having live bullets flying around me and getting used to that. So we're past that. I haven't really thought about it in a long time. But as far as the mobility and things like that, you know, it's whatever Kyle calls for. I think my knee's in a good position to, you know, it's able to do whatever it needs to do at this point.
It's got to be a lot of confidence going into the season for Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's start off with Antonio. And Oakland wants to talk about Jordan Reed and Jimmy G, and then we'll get to Larry and Rob and Sam Bruno. What's happening, Antonio? Good afternoon.
Oh, good. I trust Jimmy Garoppolo, you know. I mean, he has those occasional bad throws, but every quarterback does. I mean, it's part of the job. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate him being aggressive. You know, like, against the Rams, 2 3-16. I don't think there's another quarterback in NFL history ever completed 2 3-16, especially in one game. I mean, I don't think that ever happened. You know, and then at New Orleans, the hostile environment over there, even though it was mainly Niner fans, but still loud, rocking, clutch. You know, we're down by like a couple scores, I think two scores that game. Oh, that game, by the way, we took over the city, had a little parade afterwards. Man, I was so awesome. But yeah, second year in the system, Jimmy's going to be even better. I think he's an MVP candidate. You know, not getting talked about enough. He's got an excellent running game still. You know what I'm saying? Debo's going to be even better when he comes back. And he'll be resigned. I'm not even worried about that. You know, so it's all good, man. Like, Jimmy's going to continue to get better. Oh, yeah. Anyone at Seattle? Damn. Do you have enough to say something about him after all the trash quarterbacks we have?
Thanks for the phone call, Antonio. That's the other thing he kind of brought up. The receiving core wasn't A1. No. You know, George Kittle was out for a couple games. He had rookie tackles. I mean, given the weaponry that they had in the passing game, I think Jimmy Garoppolo did pretty damn well in 2019.
And why you should give him love is when they went and got Sanders, it worked. And it worked because Jimmy was able to incorporate him in the offense, make the proper reads. And I ask you two this. I want to see the next level of Jimmy G, if it ever happens under Kyle, to be able to audible at the line of scrimmage like a Russell Wilson or a Tom Brady. And I ask you two that. Do we see it a lot? And you guys, I don't know.
Kyle doesn't let him.
The next man, I see that.
Kyle gives him, from my understanding, from listening to them, it sounds like there's certain autonomy to check to a run play, check to a pass play, but it seems pretty specific on what they want to run. It's one of those two things.
Training wheels are going to still remain on a bit. You know what I mean?
But that's more of a function of Kyle Shanahan and his rigidity. Right. Like, very few offensive coordinators as brilliant as Kyle Shanahan wants you deviating from the play design that they've created.
Let's go to Larry in San Francisco, our main man, Larry. What's happening, Larry? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Butch can tell you what I think about Jimmy. He's a beautiful gunslinger. I look at it like this, man. You know, Jimmy ain't got nothing but better. Jimmy can't do anything but get better. You know, he's got weapons this year. You know, I don't know, man. I look at him throwing 30 and 4,000 easy.
Easy.
Hey, Larry, who's in the cab right now with you, and where are you in the Bay Area? Because he drives the Uber.
I just dropped him off. I'm sitting taking a break in front of the Chase Center, thinking to myself, Butch, I was just saying to myself, every time a team opens a new stadium, it's a disaster.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, don't worry. I'm going to take you down to Levi's once they let fans back in. I told you I made that promise. All right? You stay close.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, it's okay. But, you know, man, hey, like I say, man, you guys are essential workers to me, man. I can't survive without sports radio.
I love you, Larry.
Nor can I, Larry. Nor can I, Larry. Oh, this is going to be interesting here. I see Trey in Oakland on the line. But I know where this is going with Rob and San Bruno talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. Rob, good afternoon. I already know where you're going with this.
Hey, look.
Mac Rob.
y'all got more confidence in Jimmy G than I do. Look, man, like at the end of the day, this system is made for a quarterback. If he just makes the right read, he's going to be all right. But what he needs to work on, he make a lot of stupid decisions. A lot. It's not like he got to work. No, he need to do something about that, because if you watch even the Super Bowl, the first possession, Kyle went over and talked to him and gave him the first possession. He looked at him and gave him a look, gave him a talking, like, relax. You know what I'm saying? Then I seen one play in the Super Bowl. This dude got hit, closed his eyes, and threw the ball. I'm like, what's going on with this dude? So, to me, he needs to work on this interception. He made too many bad throws. I'm not even talking about the interception. I'm talking about the ones the guys he will be dropping. That's what scared me is I don't think the Niners defense is going to be as stout as it was last year. I don't think it's going to be kind of hard to replace a guy like Butler. So I don't think we're going to be as stout. We're still going to be good. So if we're not creating 30-plus turnovers, I don't think last year we get to where we're going. So I'm going to need Jimmy to cut down on turnovers. And when you're in a Super Bowl, make that throw. Make a throw. And I'm not just talking about Emmanuel Sanders. I'm talking about the one to kill where he missed wide open. The one in Bourne where he missed. You got to make those plays in those situations, man. You know, that's the only thing about Jimmy Garoppolo. Sometimes he inaccurate, he gets spooked sometimes. But he's a good, solid quarterback. I'm not going to call him trash. But some of his decisions, like y'all give him credit for the Rams game. I was at the game. He threw like two interceptions the first quarter. And people seem to forget that Warner, who was down 17-21, Warner took a pick six back. And we was up 24-17 going into the half. So that wasn't Jimmy Garoppolo that brought us back. So I need him to calm down the turnovers, relax, take a deep breath, and just run the offense. If he runs this offense the way Cowboys want to do it, we're going to win a Super Bowl, period.
Rob, you're killing me, Rob. All right, Rob, you're killing
That's
me.
That's it, Rob? You, That's Rob, all that worries you?
Right, Rob. You say he's spooked? I can't say he's spooked.
I love Rob.
Well, I do love Rob.
Give Rob some love.
Hey, I love Rob knows. What the funny part is? Rob's going to hang up the phone. He just hung up the phone. He's going to go to IG, and he's probably going to DM all of us separately talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. And I love Rob. I didn't say it was anything.
He's not by himself,
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you what he's doing.
He's not by himself. Like, Jimmy has to prove something to a lot of people, you know, fan-wise.
Here's how it works.
The playoff
I love
game.
Rob.
You hopped on him.
Rob comes by the Hilton Hotel all the time. That's our guy.
But here's the thing. Like, Rob knows his football, and I respect his opinion. And I believe what he's saying, there's a lot of truth to it. And what he's saying is that, look, Jimmy's decision-making's got to get better. This is not a knock on Jimmy. Kyle's freaking brilliant. And whoever he puts in there, and you can say Mullins had opportunities as CJ.
Kyle's brilliant.
But for the most part, whoever he puts in who is a functional player, okay, who is a functional player is going to put up massive numbers in this offense. Jimmy's so good that he did it with basically
a rookie wide receiver.
Let's be honest, not just that, but new left tackle, right. tackle, no center. Fullback for weeks. I mean, he's playing with a
tight
rookie
end.
Wide receiver out there. Like, he's doing it also with the broken psyche of, man, I got my knee shredded and missed the entire year. So we want to see the growth. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and see what ends up happening. But a lot of what Rob's saying is if he just has the right decision-making for 25 plays a game, they're going to put up points in every game they play in. And he's not wrong when he says that. He's right Kyle is that brilliant.
No, he's right in that aspect. I was just saying about the spook thing. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo was spooked at all. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, sure, you're in the Super Bowl, you're nervous. I mean, it's the 29th game you've ever started in the NFL. He started 26 regular season games and 3 in the playoffs. Not bad for Jimmy G. Let's get to Trey at Oakley real quick before we get to Ian Williams at the top of the hour. Trey, good afternoon, man. Long time, no talk. Hope you're safe. Hope you're doing well. What's on your mind, Trey?
Oh, man. This situation with Jimmy, I can see him going high. I see he has a bright future. But we also got to take in consideration of this, because I like to also think on the other side. It's going to get tough for him a little bit, too, because now it's going to be more game film on him. I think he had an advantage because there was hardly no game film on him before, so defenses wasn't really too sure what he can do. But now there's more game film and you've seen more of him, it's going to get tougher for him because defenses are going to show another looks too. And you also got to take the last minute of that in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. They ran some stuff at him that I thought that kind of exposed him a little bit. That's just my opinion, and I'll take your thoughts off here.
So I'm glad you said that, because I do think at times he misread zone or misread man and it ended up being zone, for example. Or he just flat out missed somebody in the middle of the field. And that's on him pre-snap. That's also him post-snap. Like, there's a combination of things. But to think that he could be figured out, like, I just think chunk plays are always going to be there. And guys are going to misread things. I mean, Brett Favre, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, threw a ton of interceptions. Aaron Rodgers throws picks only six
or
seven
years. We saw Jones bat his balls at the line. Are you worried about that, Bonte? Or was that just – I know it was one game, but if you look throughout the season, a couple guys were –
You know what?
I was like, man.
You guys are laughing at me for breaking out a preseason game. But what I was trying to do – I know, you guys are laughing at me. But Jones batted the ball in the first possession of that preseason game in week 3 when everybody plays their starters. And he batted that ball down at the line of scrimmage. And during the Super Bowl, we talked about it, Shasky, after the Super Bowl on our postgame show. Chris Jones did it again in the fourth quarter. That play, George Kittle was wide open in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Jimmy was trying to go there. Chris Jones is a franchise player. He's one of the best defensive tackles in football, and he made a great play. And that pocket in the fourth quarter, when the Chiefs were saying, we wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball, that's their strength on defense, the Kansas City Chiefs. Their pass defense is their strength. They are weak against the run. So whenever the Niners did drop back a pass, it did the Chiefs' defense a favor. And the Chiefs' defense
Honey Badger said, they threw a party every time the Niners
– talks.
He talks.
Yeah, but Guru,
what it was the Chiefs, they were saying, look, we cannot stop the run. But if
the
49ers pass, we can get home to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Why were they passing, Butch? That's what we're getting at. That's on Shanny.
They're stacking the damn box.
You can't hand the ball off 75 times in a row.
Say 1940.
There's
you ran the ball to the 49-yard line, and you had more than enough time to
get it. Is that on Kyle Shanahan then?
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
Yeah, that's where I was going. That's what I was going. I was putting it at Kyle's feet, Bonte.
For me, like, Kyle, look, if you're going to go down, I watched Tom Brady go into Arrowhead, and everyone in Arrowhead knew the ball's going to Edelman or the ball's going to Gronk. That's it. I mean, Tony Romo literally told you before both of the biggest plays in the game, the ball is going to Gronk. Yep. And everyone knew it, and they couldn't stop it. I don't understand. I don't care if you can't protect Jimmy. You need to put Kittle out wide and force the ball to him in a game.
He had to block, though. He had to stay in and block.
The season's on the line. The ball has to go to him.
I agree.
The season's on the line. That's the way I roll.
I'm with
you. Kyle's a more brilliant mind than me. Kyle's a more brilliant mind than me. He deserves all the credit for getting that far. I just have an issue with him not going down, throwing
the
rock to George Kittle. If I'm going to lose, I have no problem throwing at least 2 times to Kittle.
That's the next step.
And as brilliant as Kyle is, and I'm not talking about producer Kyle, I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan. I put that Super Bowl on Kyle Shanahan a lot more than I do on Jimmy Garoppolo, man.
Me too.
I
love him.
He coached nervous in that game. Yeah. He coached a little nervous in that game.
And went away from what was working.
Exactly.
Mostert, you're such a genius. You got this cooking. Keep grilling.
Mostert didn't get a carry in the first quarter. How's that happen? Coming off a 200-yarder performance.
That's a problem.
He gets the NFC Championship. We'll talk more about that. Ian Williams coming up. Former 49er, now doing great things on NBC Sports Bay Area. Ian Williams will join BS&G here on 95.7 The Game. It is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Baseball's back, and it's game on with Radio.com, bringing you the best coverage of this historic 60-game MLB season. Follow your favorite clubs on the country's best sports stations. Every day, they'll break down the news with in-depth game analysis and exclusive player interviews. For a unique perspective on the MLB season and all sports, listen to Radio.com Sports Originals, like Swings and Misses. The best in sports talk is right at your fingertips. It's game on. Follow Major League Baseball on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
Together, we will make our local businesses and communities strong. Move California forward.
Wear a mask and keep your distance. Governor Newsom continues to beat the drum of social rules meant to slow down the spread.
This transmission can be substantially mitigated by wearing face coverings, social distancing, just being 6 feet apart from people you otherwise do not mix with, people that are outside of your household.
For more info on what's moving forward in your community, go to radio.com/MoveCaliforniaForward.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.